friends and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know they have the turnover chain. We're gonna have to get you a hater chain.
And Chris Ello.
You may not be a Grinch, but your shoes look a little too tight, my friend.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
What a sports weekend it was. Can't wait to wrap it all up. So happy to be back. Hope everybody had a happy holiday. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Gwynn and Chris from now until 4:30 on San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan. How are you, Tony Gwynn?
I am fantastic. How about yourself?
I can't call you Tony Gwynn Jr. when Ted Leitner's in the building.
No,
he doesn't like that.
Anthony.
he's in the building, so I always call you just Tony Gwynn when he's here. Did you make it through Thanksgiving safely, soundly, and diet and everything?
Believe it or not, we did. It was thought it was going to be dicey.
You didn't have mom.
Didn't have mom
to cook this year.
Our number one weapon. We did not have her.
You were without your top score.
Right. So, but it turned out great. Myself, my wife, and my cousin. We kind of put it together, and it came out great.
You guys always put it together. It's amazing. Hey, in 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider John Heyman, and he's going to take a look at that trade the Padres made today with the Oakland A's. John is brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz Vans. And, of course, the Padres get Jurickson and Profar from the Oakland A's today. 20 home run hitting second baseman, Tony. Austin Allen and a player to be named later, or maybe some cash considerations go to the Oakland A's here. I don't know if I'm buying World Series tickets, but it's another infielder to put into the mix and potentially a starter at that second base spot. I don't know.
Yeah, gives you another option at second base of right now. I mean, this isn't obviously with Luis Urias being traded last week. This move doesn't come as a surprise in terms of the Padres trying to get a second baseman.
Right.
But I don't know that this moves the needle all that much.
No, it doesn't seem to move. It doesn't change a whole lot. Guy hit .218 for Oakland. Has hit 20 home runs each of the last two seasons, and Oakland's not an easy ballpark to hit home runs. So they pick him up. We'll talk about that on the program. John Heyman will join us shortly. But there was so much that happened over this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Let's get to it.
It's time to get the week started, San Diego.
Aye, aye, sir. Okie dokie.
Did you miss anything over the weekend?
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Gwynn and Chris get you caught up on the biggest sports stories of the weekend now. It's the weekend.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
You know, not that weekend.
I love it.
It's the Weekend Whip Around on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, so many things to choose from, Tony Gwynn. I'm going to just start with the Aztecs football team beating BYU, because that's my favorite thing that happened this weekend. Even bigger than the basketball team, as much as I love that. But I love beating BYU in football. It's one of the highlights of my life. It doesn't happen very often. And, yeah, I don't have a lot of requests.
Did you just say it's one of the highlights of your life?
Yes, I don't have a lot of requests in my life, but beating BYU in football is one of them. And I know there are some people who still find disappointment in this Aztec football season, but if they win their bowl game, they get 10 wins for the fourth time in 5 years. I got to consider that a success, you know?
I agree. I mean, 10 wins in a season, and it's easy to get caught up in what the expectations were, what was in front of the Aztecs at one point. But at the end of the day, a 10-3 season, there's nothing to laugh at. That's a good season.
Yeah. Defensively, they were awesome.
They were awesome. Among the best in the nation.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
great job by Rocky Long to finish up with that win. Nice job.
I will go over to the basketball side.
Yes, I'll go there with you.
I got a chance to watch this Aztec team play over the
weekend. I watched both games.
And
loved them.
It was so impressive. Mm-hmm. Not that they... Obviously, they win the games. That's the most important. But how they did it. I mean, Malachi Flynn in that Iowa championship game put up 28 in the second half after scoring nothing in the first half. And this is the first time I can remember. And hopefully we get Dutcher on at some point so I could ask him. But this has to be the best they've looked on the offensive end in the half court than I ever... I've seen them in that Iowa game. I watched them move the ball from one end of the court to the other end of the court, dump it down low. They had so many different options. It was just an impressive tournament overall. And I'm telling you, if you haven't got a chance to go see this team play, this is including me, you better do it soon, because I have a feeling that tickets are going to be hard to come by.
It's time to start selling out again.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those times again.
Yeah, the 20-0 team of 2011, even though it had Kawhi Leonard was not a great offensive weapon at that time. They didn't have the same offense that this team has. Now, maybe this team doesn't quite have the athleticism and defense at that team, but this team's pretty darn good, and I never thought we'd see the Aztecs roll off to a start like this again. They're still not ranked. They didn't get into the AP top 25 today, which surprised me,
especially,
but that's okay.
The RPI they have, too.
Yeah, but that's okay. That just makes them work harder.
Peaking at the right time. That's all.
Outstanding performance by Dutcher and company over the weekend. No question about that. Go to the NFL. I owe Scraby a little bit here because I've been really hard on the phony Niners this year.
I thought
yesterday was actually the best they've looked all season, even though
they
lost the game.
Yeah.
Baltimore beats them in a rainstorm. Unbelievable field goal kick there at the end by Justin Tucker. Probably the only guy in the league who can make that. But I have to say the 49ers actually impressed me yesterday for the first time. I haven't been impressed while they won 10 games, but I was impressed with their loss yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a string of, what, six games I think we highlighted when this started. They're 1-1 now.
Yeah.
But as you said, they look the best in this game. Maybe not offensively, but you got a sense of who the Niners are watching them play in that game.
I think that they're going to be a contender, but not so much. I think so much has been focused on Jimmy G that we've honestly overlooked the fact that they just have a really good defense and a good running game.
They do. The one thing that concerned me, and this was brought up, I saw it on one of the morning shows, because I thought about it when it happened. When things got tight for Baltimore, what did they do? They handed the ball. They ran the ball.
Yeah, they can
run.
And
that last possession, you get some short yard. They're averaging, I think the Niners were averaging like 6 yards on the run. They elected to pass it three different times. That scares me, because in December football, January moving forward, you got to know who you are. And to me, when you watch the Niners play, what are you thinking they are offensively? The run team.
They should be.
They are a run team. And the fact that they passed the ball three times concerns me, because ultimately the thing that could end up getting them is the brilliant coach they have and the way he picks the offense.
He's a genius.
If he's not willing to hand the ball off to that running core, that's a problem.
Yeah, New England lost to Houston last night, so it's time to say the Patriots won't win this year, which is exactly what they want to hear.
Yes.
So everybody's giving up on Brady and the Patriots
right now. I don't know. Brady looks worse than ever.
It's exactly what he wants to hear. It's exactly what he
wants to hear that.
Oh, yeah. It motivates him more than anything to hear people say that he can't get the job done.
I disagree that this is the worst he ever looked. I think the weapons aren't there.
He doesn't have anything around him.
And granted, I'm not saying it's New England, the front office fault, because they tried to get weapons in there, you know, and it just hasn't worked out. The one story I wanted to hit on was kind of a throwback story. Michigan University, or University of Michigan, took down two top teams over the weekend. I just thought it was a good story, because this team was unranked. They take down North Carolina. They take down Gonzaga.
Basketball.
Okay. And they go all the way to number four in the rankings.
And who is their new coach? Juwan Howard, who was a part of the Fab Five, the resurgence of Michigan, part of that resurgence of Michigan back then. Seems like he's already off to a terrific start. Watching that team play, man, they play like Juwan Howard played, which was a rugged big man. That's how they all play when I watched that team play. I thought it was a cool story to see them defeat two of the top teams in the nation.
I have to eat a little crow today. Carmelo Anthony named the NBA Player of the Week. I didn't think Carmelo could even dribble the basketball anymore. He was named.
This is why I love Chris.
He was named Player of the Week.
This is a participation award.
I don't think that people.
No, it's not.
I don't know. He played well, but two of their games were against the Bulls. So that you have to keep it all a little bit into perspective. But still, for Carmelo to make that kind of a comeback and that impact, I didn't see that coming. Lakers' 10-game win streak ends. Clippers score 150 on the Wiz. And James Harden gets 60. in three quarters against the Hawks. That's the NBA stuff.
Three quarters, 24 shots.
God. You know what? Who's the MVP race in the NBA, though? I think it's him and Doncic right now. LeBron's always in the hunt. But
Doncic is a problem.
Doncic is, he drove the Lakers crazy last night. Man, he's averaging 30 and 9.5 assists a game, man. This guy's playing great.
I wasn't on the court, but he drove me crazy.
We didn't get it all in. There's a couple of things I didn't even get to in the weekend whip around there, but we'll get to them when we come back. John Heyman's going to join us, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. We'll get all the looks from every angle at that Padres-A's trade today. Jurickson and Profar coming to San Diego. What does he bring? We'll find out when we come back. It's Gwynn and Chris. Happy to be back with you Monday afternoon. And let's go.
Join us on Thursday, December 5th from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. for Thursday Night Football at El Prez in Pacific Beach. We'll have swag to give away and a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to our SeaWorld Takeover on Friday, December 13th. El Prez is in Pacific Beach, is your home for football. Come to PB and enjoy draft beer and food specials. Plus, El Prez has the best rooftop bar with a panoramic ocean view.
They got a lot of good rooftop bars in that area.
They do. El Prez in Pacific Beach.
Sweet.
All right, Padres making moves. We told you guys it would be a busy offseason for A.J. Preller and his staff, and they've made us look pretty good so far. They've made some moves. I don't know if this move in particular moves the needle, but it certainly gives the Padres an option at second base after moving Luis Urias. And on the line is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz Vans. John, how are you doing? Thanks for joining the show today.
Of course. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We are doing well. Let's start with the move today for the Padres. Clearly, A.J. Preller knows this guy pretty well. What do you think the Padres are getting in a guy like Profar?
Well, it's a guy we all thought had terrific potential, was at one time ranked the number one prospect in baseball. That may have been a little fluky. It may not have been deserved, but he certainly was a top prospect at one time. And he's had some good moments, but injuries have held him back, and he really has not reached that potential to this point. But I believe he's only 27 still, so I think AJ's still hoping that he can get to that potential at some point. And you know, I think it's a guy that he obviously knows well and has a good feeling about. So, you know, I can't blame him. And I think we've all kind of thought that he was eventually going to get jerks at Profar. It's just about
it's just a matter of time.
Right.
Well, that's the interesting thing is, as you mentioned, John, I mean, Profar was one of the top prospects in all of baseball several years ago. The interesting thing to me is Luis Urias was one of the top prospects in baseball the last couple of years. And really didn't cut it in his three trials with the Padres. That's why they were willing to move him to Milwaukee. So are they kind of getting the same thing that they parted with, potentially?
Well, you know, everybody's got different opinions, and everybody's different opinions evolve over time. Obviously, the Padres were high on Urias at one time. They seemed to sour on him a bit. He wasn't great at shortstop in the limited time that he was at shortstop. And yet Milwaukee thinks that he's a shortstop. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Obviously, different people's scouts and different analytics show different things. They obviously have faith that Arias can be a shortstop and a good one. You know, San Diego obviously felt differently. They prefer Profar now and like him at second base. I thought it was interesting they said that he's an option at second base, or that's what I've been hearing anyway. You would think he's going to be the second baseman, but we shall see. I was a little surprised that they just didn't declare the second baseman, but
right.
Maybe they're just very polite to all of their players.
Maybe so. John, I want to ask you a little bit about Steven Strasburg, because I think once the season ended, it seemed like it was going to be a quick negotiation with Steven, and he would be back with the Nationals. Here we are about to hit the winter meetings. What are you hearing on the Steven Strasburg front?
Well, all I've heard is that the Nationals feel more confident on Strasburg than they do on Rendon. Okay. Whether that means they have an excellent chance, I really couldn't say. But between the two, they feel a little bit more confident, a little more comfortable with Strasburg. I don't know that negotiations are far down the line, but that may just be based on the fact that he was at one time willing to sign a long-term deal, did so for 175 four years back, and he has built a home in Washington and makes it his home part of the time. He's obviously in Southern California a lot, too. So, you know, free agency, you never know what can happen. I think generally people feel that Strasburg is comfortable there. They've been good to him, and he'll wind up back with the Nats. But once a guy gets to free agency, in most cases, he ends up leaving. That's just the reality of the situation.
John Heyman is with us, Radio.com Baseball Insider here on 97.3 The Fan. And, John, we didn't get a chance to talk to you after that Milwaukee trade. We talked about Arias going to Milwaukee, obviously along with Eric Lauer. Do you like Zach Davies? Do you like the potential of Trent Grisham? I mean, Padre fans obviously want to know what they're getting in return for those guys.
Yeah, I thought Grisham had a terrific year last year. He was very good at AAA. It did well with the Brewers. Had that one unfortunate bounce that Soto hit on the game. It turned out to be a game-winning hit for the Nats that led them to the victory there and eventually the World Series. It was quite a fateful bounce, and I don't think that factored into the trade, but I like him. I do like Davies. He's you know, a small right-hander. But he has been productive, so he's a solid major league starting pitcher. So I certainly get that trade from San Diego's perspective.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman joins us here on Gwen and Chris. John, we're about a week out, as I said, from winter meetings. Who, if you're hearing anything on the Padres, who are the free agents that the Padres are checking in on?
Well, I know they were checking on at the GM meetings, at least on Bumgarner. That's a guy, obviously, they're familiar with as he's in the same division and has been stellar, obviously, in particularly in the postseason for the Giants. So I know that Bumgarner's a guy that they've checked in. We know they've checked in on Strasburg, but to say they have a likelihood to sign, I'm not sure. They're kind of downplaying everything, but they did that the previous 2 years and ended up with Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer. So I'm not putting anything past A.J. Preller.
How about the free agent market in general, John? I mean, Moustakas signs today with Cincinnati, I think for 4 years, $64 million. Does it look like it's going to just go back to the way it was this year after kind of a year off?
Yeah, I don't know. Some people would say 2 years off. I'm not going to draw any conclusions. I've gotten some text to that effect. I think a lot of times when guys sign early, it's because they feel they got a great deal and got exactly what they wanted. So I don't think this means there's a trend. Obviously, Grandal got a very good deal. Obviously, Moustakas got a very good deal. But there haven't been a ton of deals to this point. So I'm reserving judgment on that. Good for Moustakas, who obviously had tough free agencies his first two times, and his patience paid off, and again, at $64 million from Cincinnati, showed versatility in Milwaukee, playing second base, and it paid off for him. So good for Moustakas, but I'm not drawing any overall conclusions based on a few signs.
John, one last thing before we let you get out of here, and I know it's a few years away, but I read last week about the early negotiations of a labor agreement not getting off to the best start. And then you look at this year's free agency, it seems like things are moving towards the right direction. I know you said you're not going to reach any conclusions yet, but where are the two sides at in terms of having conversations about what's going to happen this next labor agreement?
Yeah, they're nowhere. I mean, basically, at this point, they've talked a few times, and they have made no progress to this point, from what I hear. So they still have 2 years to figure it out, so there's plenty of time. But at this point, I think the player side feels that they got a bad deal last time out, and they want to make up for it, whereas MLB is willing to give on some areas, but they want to give and take. I think the union is looking at it as we want to kind of make up for what happened last time. And if not, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's kind of, it looks like a potentially ugly situation. They've had labor peace for decades. point, but it looks pretty scary for 2 years from now. But as I said, we still have 2 years to go. That's a long time.
John, we certainly appreciate your time, man. As always, appreciate you coming on the show.
Great insight,
we'll
John.
We'll check in with you later.
See you later, Tony. Sorry about my voice.
All good. Get better. Get well.
Okay.
Have a good holiday season, John.
That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize Metris for Mercedes-Benz Vans. I got to tell you, it's never a good thing to have a negotiation where one side is feeling like they want to make up for something.
No.
And the other side is feeling like, okay, we're give and take. Because if you're giving and taking, you're not making up for anything. You're giving something
to
get something.
No, you know that you got one over last time.
Those two don't mix. So that is a scary picture of what is going on right now between owners and players. But we're 2 years away. Hopefully something can get done. We got to step away, take a break. When we come back, it's our Monday segment. The Week 13 NFL recap is up next. And are the Dolphins actually kind of good, Chris?
Yes. They're brilliant.
They're playing as good as the cattywampuses right now in the league.
Oh, that's right.
We'll talk about it next on San Diego's that's number cold. One sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quinn and Chris back at you, 3:35 the time. Thanks to John Heyman joining us. Talk a little baseball. Talk a little bit about the Padres acquisition of the Jurickson Profar. Is he the answer at second base? We'll all wait and find out. Hey, we're going to be talking a lot of baseball next week. MLB 2019 winter meetings in San Diego. 97.3 The Fan's coverage presented to you by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Day sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. Yes, we're going to be getting ready for the winter meetings. Okay. Last year in Las Vegas. This year they're coming to us, Tony.
Man,
coming to us.
How about that? It's the only place you could really follow Vegas up with is San Diego.
Or you could just follow another Vegas. Would have been all right.
Right. Both of those would work.
Nah, but no, we don't have to leave town this year.
No,
we're going to have
planes.
The winter meetings coming in. So,
that's a bummer.
You like to leave town?
Well, it's like the only time I get a vacation, really. Or
you know, the town likes it when you leave town. So
that is not true.
It's actually a good thing.
Wow.
And you mentioned the cattywampuses. A lot of people don't know who that is. That's my incredibly bad fantasy football team that
they
somehow lost
bad.
10 in a row to start the season. Finished the season with 3 wins in a row, but like the Dolphins, have been eliminated from playoff contention.
That
so
is true.
That's how good the Dolphins are. Both Tony and Scraby's teams, I think, are going to make the playoff. I know Tony's Scraby very possibly could be postseason bound.
But we both took L's. Did he lose to you two?
No, he beat me earlier this season. You took one to me yesterday, but like I said, it was just one of those playing for pride weekends. Boys were playing for pride.
I'm glad they came out to play.
Like the Dolphins did.
Unlike some folks in our league.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people just kind of cash it in when they're eliminated. Oh, not
man.
This club.
Talking to a guy with the initials JR.
All right, let's just move along to this week in the National Football League. Scrape a little music, if you will, and we start it all off with a battle of two teams that right now, if the playoffs started today, would be seeded number one in their respective conferences. The 49ers looked the part yesterday, even though they lost a heartbreaker to the 10-2 Baltimore Ravens on this kick by Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker for the winner from 49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers.
As I said, I thought the 49ers looked as good as they have all season, Tony. Defensively, they were very tough, stingy against Lamar Jackson and company. I mean, remember, Baltimore had only punted twice in its previous 3 games. 49ers got them off the field a few times yesterday, and I think this is a win-win kind of for San Francisco, even though they lost the game.
I think both teams showed us something that could get them to the Super Bowl. 49ers, question marks, could they stop a guy like Lamar Jackson?
Because they couldn't stop Kyler Murray.
They couldn't stop Kyler Murray. Russell Wilson
right,
got after him a little bit. But they did. They played, as you said, as good of a game as they played all season long. On the flip side, everybody was saying, can he manage a game? Can Lamar Jackson manage a game?
And win one when it matters.
When it was close, right. Yeah. He'd been blowing teams out.
Right.
Last drive, he had to make a couple throws. I think it was 6 minutes and some change. They in 12 plays that didn't even take up that many yardage.
No, but they wiped out the clock.
They wiped out the clock. So I thought both teams proved that it should be no surprise if we see them as the last game of the year.
Here's the thing with the 49ers, which is really weird because they lost to the Seahawks a few weeks ago. If Seattle wins tonight, which you can hear that game on 97.3 The Fan, they take the second seed in the NFC. The Saints will move up to one, and the Niners have to go down to number five.
Yeah, well,
which is crazy.
I told you that's where they belong last week. But they didn't look the part, like I said yesterday. They played very well yesterday, and I'm giving them credit where it is due. Well, do you remember what happened 350 days ago? Maybe if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you do. They hadn't won in that amount of time until Tyler Boyd caught this touchdown and helped Cincinnati win one yesterday.
Dalton fakes a handoff from the pocket, throws over the middle.
Oh, baby,
it is caught for a touchdown by Tyler Boyd.
Congratulations to the Jets, by the way. They gave Miami their first win of the season, and now they give Cincinnati theirs.
You can't even lose right. I mean, both of those teams were trying to lose every game.
Yeah.
And all they've done is give them their first.
And the Jets were worse.
Hats off to the Bengals broadcast. You could just hear the relief in their voices as they called that last touchdown right there.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. They scored.
We're winning one.
You like how in the 49ers highlight you can hear a bunch of crowd? In the Bengals highlight you hear nothing.
Nothing. There wasn't too many people there. But Andy Dalton did become the all-time Bengal career touchdown passer. With 198.
I will say,
passing Ken Anderson, who was much better, by the way, than Andy Dalton is.
Chris, you have been pretty hard on Adam Gase since he left your squad the way he left him. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, he may have not wanted Le'Veon as his running back, but by gosh,
he
Cincinnati
has destroyed Le'Veon
was
Bell, huh?
The worst running defense by a landslide.
Yeah.
And they would not give Le'Veon or any other running back the ball. Adam Gase, what are you? At this point, you have 4 wins. You're not going to get the first pick because you've already blessed Miami and Bengals with the win. How do you make that egregious of a mistake? This is the worst team in the league against the run, and yet you don't run the ball with a back that you just signed to $54 million plus dollars.
And the Jets had scored 34 points in 3 consecutive games before yesterday, so it makes no sense at all. Chargers, they make no sense at all either. How did they not get that game to overtime yesterday?
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
Yes, that's right. 20-20 on a game-tying field goal with what? 11 seconds left, and then the Broncos get the kickoff, throw a bomb. Casey Hayward gets pass interference. Sets this up. Unreal.
Snap. Placement. Kick on the way. And it is good! It's over!
What are the Charger fans complaining about? That Hayward didn't run into the guy?
Yes.
I mean, he bumped him right off his path.
They're saying that he found the ball and that he shouldn't have been called for pass interference.
I think he should have been called for pass interference. What'd you think, Tone?
For putting himself in that dumb position.
I saw it. It was... There's no such thing as a stupidity penalty. So I thought it was, I've seen worse. And I've seen, more importantly, I've seen worse not overturned.
Right.
And the fact that they got this one overturned, I mean, man.
Chargers have lost 8 games this year, none of which have been by more than 7 points. That sounds like some coaching, or is it just, they're just snake bit, and we love that.
I don't think that they're snake bit. I think this is a team that's been hurt all year. They're not good enough, as we said last year. Remember we said last year when they got off to the good start, man, if they stay healthy, they got a shot. But, you know, the moment somebody gets hurt, it's going to go. But they stayed healthy. They stayed away from the injury bug last year.
God, Phillip Rivers opened the game with an interception by a defensive tackle. And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to wind up getting benched. But thankfully, Rivers came back, played a little bit better, but not enough for the win.
No.
Aaron Rodgers continues to play well. 4 touchdown passes, 23rd time in his career that he did that. Devontae Adams was the recipient of 2 of them.
Rodgers goes quick count, back to throw. looking, steps up, throws end zone. Devontae, touchdown, and a leaping grab. Left side of the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. 31-13 Packers over the Giants. Giants are 2-10. They're getting into the running for the number one overall pick.
Yep. As long
which
as
might look good next to Saquon Barkley if it's the right guy.
Do the Jets play either the Redskins or the Dolphins again?
Jets play the Dolphins this week, and then the Giants play the Dolphins the next week.
The Giants know they got a shot at the number
they
one pick.
They got a then. Real good chance. Oakland is all of a sudden falling apart here the last couple of games. My goodness. Outscored 74-12 and completely outclassed yesterday by Kansas City.
Mahomes takes the snap from Ryder, drifts to his left, holds the ball in his right hand. He can run. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Angling near front pylon. Touchdown!
Kansas City!
Can we be honest with ourselves? The only reason why the Raiders were really in this is because the Chiefs hadn't played that good of football in the beginning of the season.
They're getting healthy.
Now they're getting healthy, and you're starting to see the clear difference between the Chiefs and everybody else in the division. As long as the Chiefs were going to play, you know, mediocre football from their scale measurement, the Raiders had a chance. But clearly, that's not the case anymore. The Chiefs seem like they're starting to turn the corner, even defensively. A team that's been horrible is starting to find a way to get stops. That's a problem for the rest of the league, especially for New England coming up here next week.
Raiders might need a new quarterback. I don't know that Derek Carr's ever going to quite get there, because Jacobs is a great running back. But they can't pass the ball. They've only scored one touchdown in their last three or four games combined. It's been ugly for the Raiders of late. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, this was the game that everybody was waiting for. The rematch of the brawl for it all a couple of weeks ago. This one didn't come down to anything silly like that. Just a great touchdown catch by James Washington.
He throws it long down the sideline, and there's a man under it. And it's caught!
It's caught
with a marker down. That's a touchdown for James Washington.
Pittsburgh 20, Cleveland 13. Baker Mayfield got injured in the first half
I'm
of this
surprised
game.
He came back.
Yeah, did come crushed? Back, but he hit his hand on somebody's
helmet
and just got crushed on a sack right at the end of the first half. But he finished the game. He's a tough kid. He couldn't get the Browns over the hump.
Is Mike Tomlin going to start being talked about as Coach of the Year candidate?
I mean, right now the Steelers are in the playoffs with their 9th string backup quarterback and their 14th string backup running back. It's unreal.
I'm saying, and it was pointed out today that Hodges is actually their 4th string quarterback.
Oh, Duck?
Yeah.
Duck Hodges is their 4th string, because you remember Ben went down, the kid that they just benched. They traded Dodds before the season started, who was their 3rd string, and now
Mason Rudolph came in,
yeah,
got hit upside the head.
What do you guys think of, leading up to the game, Freddie Kitchens wearing the Pittsburgh Started It shirt? Now, Freddie Kitchens didn't wear it out to any function or anything like that.
That was a poor look. It's a poor look.
I'll tell you, my opinion is, it's not a big deal on the surface, but when you're the head football coach of a football team,
can't be doing
that in a sport where they use bulletin board material all the time, you just might not want to give it. I don't think he did anything egregious. He wore a shirt, so did everybody else. But considering he's the head football coach, could you imagine Mike Tomlin wearing a shirt like that out? Could you imagine any of the Belichick wearing a shirt like that
Heck
out?
No shot.
No, Freddie Kitchens is not a good coach, and he's probably not going to make it to a second season. A lot of people think he's out in Cleveland. That's what expectations will do. Rams had high expectations this year, but their offense just has not been clicking until yesterday as they blew out the Cardinals. They also got help from the D.
It's second down and 10. Murray fakes the draw. Back to throw. Pressure in his face. This one is intercepted at the 30-yard line. Down the left side. Return for a touchdown. The third time's a charm for Taylor Rapp. The rookie scores it for L.A. And this one's out of hand.
34-7 Rams over the Cardinals. Rams still have a look at that playoff spot. If the Vikings lose tonight, they'd only be one game out. But so don't totally give up on the Rams yet. They still have an outside shot.
No, this is the Rams D that we were looking to get.
Right.
That we all thought we were going
to
get.
Aaron Donald was on the field yesterday.
He was on
like,
the field.
Disrupting stuff.
Ramsey was in that
so
action.
Annoying. It's just so annoying.
What is?
The Rams. They're so annoying. They can't do anything for a month.
Oh, my gosh. See what, see what happens when your hometown squad starts to do well. You all of a sudden just feel like you need to talk trash all the time.
No, I just hate the Rams. And
you're
I wish
a hater.
They would, I wish
we,
they
we know you're a hater.
You're a hater. You hate everybody. Yeah. You hate the Eagles. You hate the Dolphins.
Tony said I needed a hater chain last week.
You must hate the Dolphins and Eagles so much that you buried this game deep into the recap. Miami last year pulled off the play of the year. Remember that when they beat New England on the lateral? Well, yesterday, they might have pulled off the play of the year again.
The punter takes the snap. And then the toss to the end zone for the touchdown to the place kicker, Jason Sanders.
Come on. Oh, man.
So it's the punter slash holder to the kicker for a Dolphins touchdown.
It was pretty incredible play. It was fun. The key to that entire play, Tony, is that everybody has to line up right.
Right.
You can't commit an illegal motion or procedure penalty in lining up. And then the punter did a heck of a job. He drew four defenders to him and then flipped the kicker in the end zone for the touchdown. First kicker to score a touchdown in 42 years in the NFL.
Whoa.
That was amazing. Dolphins beat the Eagles because of that great trick play, 37-31.
Three wins, man.
Three more than everybody told me they were going to get.
Devontae Parker looked like a Hall of Famer.
Didn't he? He really did
this
look
is
like
the,
a Hall
That's
of Famer.
Who they thought they were drafting out of Louisville, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, I know. Well, about time he shows up.
Yeah, I know.
Hopefully this is something real for him.
I hope so. They got a long, long way to go.
You still
got
to figure out a quarterback situation.
Hopefully. I agree. They used to have one. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to. I've just ruined Chris's great segue. He was going to go into something, but... how embarrassing is this for the Eagles? That's embarrassing to go down to Miami.
You had a prime chance to get a better footing in the division.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz laid an egg on Thursday.
Wentz isn't a good quarterback anymore.
Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, neither of them, are any good. It seems at the moment.
Yeah, thank you, Nick Foles. We'll get to you later.
Yes, boy, he really helped you. All right, as I mentioned, the Dolphins did have a quarterback. It was Ryan Tannehill. He's now looking good for the Tennessee Titans, who whipped the Colts yesterday, and special teams was good for Tennessee as well.
Kick, block, Ty Smith has it, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown, Titans!
Yeah, block, kick, field goal. Adam Vinatieri had a tough day. He missed two and had one blocked. Yeah, it hasn't gone well for one of the great kickers of all time. Derrick Henry was a stud in the game. Tannehill, third straight game with multi-TD passes and no interceptions. He never did that as a Dolphin,
Is as good of a game manager right now as
he's
there is.
Bad.
Listen, this is the third straight week where he's been under 200 yards passing, 20-plus attempts. Last week, I think he was just under it. But as you said, touchdowns, no turnovers.
Yeah, Tannehill's playing some pretty sweet ball right now. I got to give him credit. I mean, everybody's forgotten about Marcus Mariota, who was one of the up-and-coming guys in the league.
Tony and I were talking about this last week. I say Tannehill is probably the Titans starter next year. Do you say that?
They may not have a choice if he ends up getting a...
They're in the playoffs if they keep going this way, so he's going to have to come back.
If he gets him in the playoffs, he'll be the starter. But don't be for 1 second mistaken that they won't take a quarterback if there's one available.
I'll tell you who should go get Marcus Mariota. The Dolphins!
You want that?
I don't dislike Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I mean, he's the kind of quarterback that everybody's going to right now.
He didn't
play well early this season, but I've seen him play well.
That's what's making what Tannehill's doing so well. I can't name you any other. Davis is the only wide receiver I can name
you. Yeah, they don't have much of a receiver.
And it's been like that for a while.
Yeah. Tannehill, all right. Good for him.
Yeah.
I might pull my jersey out of the mothballs. Tampa Bay and Jacksonville yesterday. Nick Foles not only started for the Jaguars for the last time this year, but he probably started as Tony Gwynn's fantasy quarterback for the last time this year as well.
He did.
Here's the snap, and Foles dropping to throw under some pressure. He fumbled the football. Pump picked up at the 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Devin White with his second big play.
Yeah, Nick Foles, 7 out of 14, 93 yards, but 3 turnovers. He actually got minus fantasy points for you, Tony. I know you're pleased.
I know. Minus 2.
I know you're pleased.
At one point, I thought he was out of the game, and then he was in the game still.
Yeah.
He got it from 2 points, negative 2.7 to negative 2. And then they just snatched
him. He pulled
him out
it back
game.
Up yeah. a little bit.
He
at
got
the
it
end.
Back up. Didn't help
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be playing Nick anymore. And boy, I'm wrong about Nick Foles because I thought he's going to go to Jacksonville and light it up, but it has not worked out. Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians has that team much better this year. Final game on the board, Washington and Carolina. Adrian Peterson, hadn't heard from him in a while.
Triple tight end set, single wide out left is Harmon. Straight give up the middle, Adrian Peterson through a hole to the goal line, touchdown! Stepping into the end zone, Adrian Peterson scores, and it's a Redskins touchdown with 4:26 to play. 28-14, Redskins lead it.
Yeah, Redskins still almost blew this game. Carolina ended up on the one-yard line with a chance to tie it in the final minutes, but could not get in on four tries from the one-yard line. So,
yep,
victory for the Skins, a rarity.
Old Kyle Allen's coming back down to earth again.
Oh, he's yeah, back down to earth.
Can
for
I
sure.
take my endorsement of him away?
You want to take it back now?
I was saying that he's the next starter in Carolina. Get rid of Cam Newton.
Real quick, can we give a tip of the hat to Dwayne Haskins for actually being in the game for the victory formation.
He saw them make the final stop, and then they were able to get him out there for the final play.
He got out there.
That a boy, Dwayne. He's won two in a row, so that's something. By the way, Sunday night game, Houston over New England did not make the highlight package for some reason.
You're right.
I don't honestly care to leave the Patriots out. It doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. I saw them losing 28-9. They scored a couple of, by the way, touchdowns at the end to make it look closer. But everyone's given up on New England now. And this is exactly what they want. I mean, not what they want, but, you know, they hear it every year. Yep, you guys are too old. Brady, you're done. This is different. I'm seeing that headline right now. This isn't just Brady being too old. This is different. Bill Barnwell today, this Patriot loss feels different. Is it time to worry about Tom Brady? Everybody's going to jump on this bandwagon now. The Patriots lost one game is all.
The only thing that makes me believe that this is different has nothing to do with Tom Brady and everything to do with his supporting cast.
supporting
that's
crap.
Other than Edelman.
Yeah.
Everybody, who, by the way, is a slot receiver. Other than that, and without the tight end, you need to kind of loosen up the middle
of the
field.
You don't have Gronk.
I watched some of the throws he made. There is, I mean, when I say zero separation between whatever receiver and said name defensive back,
yeah.
There is no room. So he's basically throwing into a window of nothing.
And usually he's able to do that.
Right.
But, we'll see about the Patriots. I'm not ready to give up on them. It'll be interesting to watch them this week. They host the Chiefs, and Kansas City's playing well. Patriots bounce back, then all will be forgiven. They lose that game, and it'll be, it's all over. Yeah, can it. But don't ever count that team out if you know it's good for you. All right, good NFL recap. Week 13's in the books after tonight's Monday night game, which you'll hear right here on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be going out there in a half an hour. Vikings and Seahawks. First, though, a little Chris versus the fans. Get on the phone lines, 833-288-0973. Play some trivia with us next, Gwen and Chris. 97.3 The Fan.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know they have the turnover chain. We're gonna have to get you a hater chain.
And Chris Ello.
You may not be a Grinch, but your shoes look a little too tight, my friend.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good luck.
Listen for your name to be called and call us back in 10 minutes to win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan. Takeover night, Friday, December 13th, during the SeaWorld Christmas celebration presented by Sprint.
Oh, and that's not all.
Experience over 1 million lights in the all-new shows and attraction like the Sesame Sea Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. If you call back, if you call back in time, you will also be entered to win our grand prize. The perfect Christmas gift, I mind you, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate, Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. And that is not all, ladies and gentlemen.
No, there's more.
To kick off the holiday season, we are adding a holiday bonus pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary tour featuring Michael McDonald at the North Island Credit Union in September.
Come on, you can make it.
You can win them before they go on sale on December 6th on LiveNation.com.
That's the longest read I've ever heard.
Oh, my gosh.
Well done, my friend.
I hope you guys remember all of that.
Well, just keep listening for your name. That's basically the idea after all of that.
Now, Scraby, you said there's something new.
We have a wrinkle.
Oh, there's a wrinkle. Of course
there's a wrinkle.
After everything he just read?
There's a wrinkle.
You mean there's something to that that he didn't mention?
How many times can I say, there's a wrinkle?
Okay, give us the wrinkle.
What is it?
The wrinkle is that when we call the name out and that person does not call back within their 10
if
minutes.
If they don't call.
If they do not call back in that 10 minutes, we are going to take the eighth caller and you will be entered for the prize.
All right.
Oh.
So
sweet.
If after the 10 minutes is up, nobody calls.
It's open to anybody.
The eighth caller will get that large essay prize.
Would you please tell them what they will win?
Yeah, can you reread it, please?
I don't want to.
I don't blame you. All right, get on the phones, everybody. Time for a little Chris versus the fans. 833-288-0973. Play a little trivia. Take on the trivia champ here. And if you're able to pick up a victory in our daily trivia contest, a family four-pack of movie passes to San Diego's hometown theater, Ultra Star Cinema in Mission Valley, will be yours. And don't ever tell me you can't get in the trivia game, because I know there's a line open right now. 833-288-0973. While people call, Tony, just wanted to mention the what was it? Oh, no, never mind.
Wait, I'll save it for another time.
What?
You got to go for it now.
Nah, we already kind of...
It might provoke a longer conversation that we don't have time for today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's... No, never mind.
What's the topic?
Huh?
What is the topic?
The topic is why people aren't calling in for the trivia game right now.
Boom.
That's what the topic is. Call in, take your crack, 833-288-0973. All right, let's start playing.
Go. Okay.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, give us the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, you will win. And I put a lot of thought into these questions today. So.
Did you?
I did. What are we winning?
I feel like you said that, but we get a family four-pack of tickets, right?
Yeah, Ultra Star Cinema in Mission Valley.
Boom.
Where are you going to go with that? I've said that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said that, I put a lot of effort into these questions.
Yeah, and it usually turns into a train wreck.
All right, Joel and Carlsbad, welcome to Gwyn and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Joel.
Here we go, first question.
Hey. All right.
Who is the official baseball maker of Major League Baseball?
Baseball maker?
Yes, who makes the baseballs?
What company?
Oh, shoot. Rawlings.
Very good.
Nice work. Let's move.
As long as you only say shoot, we're okay.
Did anybody else feel like he wasn't going to know that?
I knew you were going to be. Here we go. Question number two.
We're keeping it PG.
What NFL team did Deion Sanders finish his career with?
I'm going to go with... Falcons.
The Falcons.
Did he go back to the Falcons?
He did not. That is incorrect.
I might be wrong, but,
I may not know this one. Redskins?
Redskins. Incorrect.
No.
The answer, the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, he snuck over to the Ravens. Oh, well, you're still alive,
you're
Joel.
You're still alive, Joel. Here we go. Question number three for the four-pack of movie passes. What NFC team won a home playoff game in 2010 after making the playoffs with a 7-9 record?
2010?
Who?
2010,
yes. Yes, 2010.
Giants.
He's
New York football Giants.
Good guess.
Is incorrect. Chris, for the steal.
The Redskins did, I believe.
The Redskins in 2010 did not.
Oh!
Joel, you are the winner. The
Congrats,
answer
Joel.
Was the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks.
He said NFC East team.
I said NFC team.
Yeah. Oh, you said NFC team.
Yeah.
All right, that's what threw me. All right, good. Good job,
nice
Joel.
Work, Joel.
All right. Way to go, Joel. Hang on there. You get all the tickets, all the crowd. Yeah, no, it's good. We can save all the rest of your questions for tomorrow. We'll play another round of trivia, and hopefully you will get lucky, and I will miss a bunch of questions out there.
Yeah, well,
it happens from time to time.
We'll do it again tomorrow. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, I'm kind of curious to know what Chris was talking about during that time where he was
me too.
Kind of holding us. But if he doesn't decide to tell us, we're going to talk about this all-decade team Major League Baseball. Not Major League Baseball is doing, but CBS Sports has put one together. We're going to talk about it a little bit. All-decade team.
Unless Chris wants to tell us a secret.
Nope.
Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwen and Chris, 417. Getting you set for Monday Night Football right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It'll be the Vikings and the Seahawks.
Showtime!
Very good. Oh, my God, that's right.
There he is, your guy.
Now, I will not be, I'll be watching with the sound down. Mark Azzurito, Azzurito. Mark, you are today's biggest fan. Congratulations. You have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. And if you call back in those 10 minutes, you win the family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at SeaWorld, the Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. And you also will be entered in all that stuff that Tony mentioned a little while ago.
And remember, if Mark does not call in, starting now, Mark.
You got now, Mark.
10 minutes from now.
Tick, 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 tick.
But if he doesn't call in, then we'll let everybody else, we'll open it up for everybody else.
And the eighth caller will be the person to get the prize.
All right. Coming up this weekend, by the way, we got Monday Night Football tonight, obviously. But this Saturday, make your plans to be with us here on The Fan. Carrying the SEC Championship game, LSU in Georgia at 1 p.m., followed by the Big Ten Championship game, Ohio State and Wisconsin at 4:45. So that will be Saturday. You'll only get those games right here on SD's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Who do you like right now, Tony? If I told you it's going to be LSU and Ohio State are going to play for the national championship, I'm assuming they're both going to win their first-round playoff. I'm not, but I'm just saying if they do and they're playing each other undefeated, who do you like right now?
I like LSU.
I do, too. I know Ohio State, and they're number one, and they're all that. They're not in the SEC, and it's just not, to me, it's not the same. I mean, LSU continues to blow out teams from the SEC, and Ohio State continues to blow out teams from the Big Ten, but it's not the same in my mind.
As much as I want to get my put my scrappy hat on and hate on the SEC.
What does that mean?
Hate, just hate for no reason.
I don't like the SEC either.
I'm not a fan, but You can't take away what they put on.
They have the best players and the best teams
for the past. I don't know how long
it's been like this for over a decade. So I remember when Florida played Ohio State about 10 years ago. Around this time, 10 years ago, and Ohio State was number one, and everyone was saying they're all that. And Florida, I think, beat them by 30 points. And
dumped them.
I haven't seen too many great Big Ten teams that can stay with a great SEC team for a while. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Okay. One game, it's just going to be one game. But I know Ohio State's number one right now. LSU is number two, and that's fine. But I think LSU would be favored in that game. You know, I had a good weekend in college football? Oklahoma. I'll tell you why. Because Alabama lost to Auburn. So they drop out of the picture now for the national playoff. Right now, the four spot is held by Georgia. And then next up would be Utah or Oklahoma. Well, Georgia's going to have to play LSU in the SEC title game. We just told you about that Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. Utah's going to have to play Oregon for the Pac-12 title. I could see Oregon being at least favored in that game, even though Utah's higher ranked. And then Oklahoma plays Baylor in the Big 12. If Oklahoma wins and the other two lose,
guess what?
Oklahoma's going to slide into the national championship playoff. So Sooner fans had a good weekend. It was, I think they had the best news of all when Alabama lost that game to Auburn. How did Alabama give up 48 points in one game?
I was
going
to say, did you guys watch? I watched the entire game randomly.
I didn't get a chance to see
it. Was Saban as irate as he looked?
Oh, my goodness.
But well, didn't they put time on the clock or there was something controversial?
I think he had a right to be upset because before the half, Auburn had no timeouts and they went down the field and they threw it into the middle of the field so they couldn't stop the clock. And then they had to go review it to see if the guy put his knee down so that they would have a first down. Chains would move, so that means the clock would stop for a little bit. So they put back a second on the clock and Auburn was able to kick a field goal, which ended up being the field goal that won the game for them. Because
difference in the game.
Difference in
but
the
Alabama
game.
But Alabama missed like a 30-yard field goal on the last play of the
game. Well, yeah, he clunked it off of the upright. But Nick Saban has... They gave Auburn four timeouts in that first half because of the reviews. So,
well, that was
funky.
Has been on the favorite side of a lot of those things.
He's gotten a few of those calls. You know, the thing is with Nick, I mean, you respect how great he is, but really, I mean, can you imagine a Belichick team getting blitzed for 48 points? 48 points on Alabama, that's unheard of.
Yeah, and they uncharacteristically made a whole bunch of penalties that they don't normally see them make.
That's unheard of.
It was a recipe in a game like that that'll get you an L.
It did. It got them an L, and it opens things up, like I said. But that 48-45 game was nothing compared to what El Camino and Bishops did in the Division II CIF football championship game.
I read a little bit about this
weekend. We leave the high school stuff to the coach and Braden, but El Camino beat Bishops, if you didn't hear about this, for the Division II championship in football. And I say in football because you're not going to believe the score, the final score. 75-59.
Wow.
That was the final score of the game. It was the highest scoring CIF championship game in San Diego history. I would hope
so.
134 points. Bishops was leading by 25 points at halftime. And then El Camino scored 55 unanswered points in the second half.
That's insane.
And then Bishops scored a couple touchdowns late. So both the high school Division I and II titles go to the city of Oceanside. Congratulations. Oceanside High got the Division I title and El Camino gets Division II. So I wanted to throw that in. Congratulate all those kids, all those fans up there in Oceanside. Great, great seasons, and even the losing teams. I mean, Bishops put 59 on the board. You figure you're going to probably walk out of there with a win. They weren't close.
I mean, that is 55 points?
59.
59 points?
And they gave up 75. I think there was 18 touchdowns scored in the game.
And how many,
I don't even know there's time for that to all happen.
How many, did you say, how many were unanswered?
They, I believe, got 55 straight points El Camino did to start the second half. Because they were down 45-20 going into the locker room. So Bishops had a 25-point lead going into
that
the locker room.
Is insane.
And ended up losing that game. Sorry about that, Bishops.
I want to know what the coach that we met at El Camino, what he told them in the halftime.
Yeah, right. We did one of our Friday shows at El Camino High this year. So congrats to those guys. I know the coach and Braden called the game. They must have been worn out by the end of that game. They must have been worn out. Lakers' 10-game win streak is over. But I want to talk about this Luka Doncic guy. Do you think he has a chance to give Harden and, Giannis and LeBron and the rest of these guys a run for the MVP money this year? Because 30.6 points, 9.6 assists, those are his averages right now. And he's leading this Dallas team, which is looking like a playoff contender now.
I think his team is a playoff contender. I think he'll be in the conversation when it's all said and done. The European game, there's just a different rhythm, cadence, whatever you want to call it. There's a Luka is not by far. He probably is the I'd say on a nightly basis, the seventh or eighth best athlete on the court.
Huh.
But
really?
That being said, he gets to the bucket when he wants. He got the step back three. He can manage the game. He's not that athletic when it in terms of, you know, the basketball game. But the guy, you got to remember, he's been a professional a lot longer than these 2 years he's been in NBA.
Right. That's what you forget. Because he was rookie of the year last year.
He was rookie of the year last year. He had been an MVP in the second best league in the world. So this guy is, he can play. And he was on full display last night at Staples, or yesterday at Staples. Arena.
Yeah, they whipped the Lakers.
Put it on.
And the Lakers have not lost in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, 10-game streak snap.
Yeah. Was it a doubleheader at Staples yesterday?
It was.
Because they ushered the Lakers and Dallas
doubleheader
out of there and brought the Clippers in, and they put 150 up on the Wizards. 150! My goodness. All right. Stay tuned. Vikings-Seahawks Monday Night Football. Should be a good ball game. I'm sure Mr. Showtime will love it. Hope you enjoy it.
Showtime!
For Matt Scraby, Odd Thomas, Tony Gwynn Jr., and did the guy call in?
He did not.
He did not. So call right now, 833-288-0973. The eighth caller is going to win the prize package today. That could be you. Start dialing, 833-288-0973. I'm Chris Ello for Tony Gwynn and the rest. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tick, 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 tick. What NFL team did Deion Sanders finish his career with? The Falcons.
Did he go back to the Falcons?
He did not. That is incorrect.
I may not know this one. Redskins?
Redskins. Incorrect.
No.
The answer, the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, he snuck over to the Ravens. Oh, well, you're still alive,
you're
Joel.
You're still alive, Joel. Here we go. Question number three for the four-pack of movie passes. What NFC team won a home playoff game in 2010 after making the playoffs with a 7-9 record?
2010.
Who?
2010,
yes. Yes, 2010.
Giants.
He's
New York football Giants.
You guess.
Is incorrect. Chris, for the steal.
The Redskins did, I believe.
The Redskins in 2010 did not.
Oh!
Joel, you are the winner. The
congrats,
answer
Joel.
Was the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks.
He said NFC East team.
I said NFC team.
Yeah. Oh, you said NFC team.
Yeah.
All right, that's what threw me. All right, good. Good job,
nice
Joel.
Work, Joel.
All right. Way to go, Joel. Line, hang on there. You get all the tickets, easy. All the crowd. Yeah, no, it's good. We save all the rest of your questions for tomorrow. We'll play another round of trivia, and hopefully you will get lucky, and I will miss a bunch of questions out there.
Yeah, well,
it happens from time to time.
We'll do it again tomorrow. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, I'm kind of curious to know what Chris was talking about during that time where he was
me too.
Kind of holding us. But if he doesn't decide to tell us, we're going to talk about this all-decade team Major League Baseball. Not Major League Baseball is doing, but CBS Sports has put one together. We're going to talk about it a little bit. All-decade team.
Unless Chris wants to tell us a secret.
Nope.
Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris, 417. Getting you set for Monday Night Football right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It'll be the Vikings and the Seahawks.
Showtime!
Very good. Oh, my God, that's right.
There he is, your guy.
Now, I will not be,
Joe.
I'll be watching with the sound down. Mark Azzurrito. Mark Azzurrito, Azzurrito. Mark, you are today's biggest fan. Congratulations. You have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. And if you call back in those 10 minutes, you win the family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at SeaWorld, the Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. And you also will be entered in all that stuff that Tony mentioned a little while ago.
And remember, if Mark does not call in, starting now, Mark,
You got now, Mark.
10 minutes from now.
Tick, 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 tick.
But if he doesn't call in, then we'll let everybody else, we'll open it up for everybody else.
And the eighth caller will be the person to get the prize.
All right. Coming up this weekend, by the way, we got Monday Night Football tonight, obviously. But this Saturday, make your plans to be with us here on The Fan. Carrying the SEC Championship game, LSU in Georgia at 1 p.m., followed by the Big Ten Championship game, Ohio State and Wisconsin at 4:45. So that will be Saturday. You'll only get those games right here on SD's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Who do you like right now, Tony? If I told you it's going to be LSU and Ohio State are going to play for the national championship, I'm assuming they're both going to win their first-round playoff. I'm not, but I'm just saying if they do and they're playing each other undefeated, who do you like right now?
I like LSU.
I do, too. I know Ohio State, and they're number one, and they're all that. They're not in the SEC. And it's just not, to me, it's not the same. I mean, LSU continues to blow out teams from the SEC, and Ohio State continues to blow out teams from the Big Ten, but it's not the same in my mind.
As much as I want to get my put my scrappy hat on and hate on the SEC.
What does that mean?
Hate, just hate for no reason.
I don't like the SEC either.
I'm not a fan, but You can't take away what they put on.
They have the best players and the best teams
for the past, I don't know how long.
It's been like this for over a decade. So I remember when Florida played Ohio State about 10 years ago, around this time 10 years ago, and Ohio State was number one, and everyone was saying they're all that. And Florida, I think, beat them by 30 points. And
dumped them.
I haven't seen too many great Big Ten teams that can stay with a great SEC team for a while. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Nope. One game, it's just going to be one game. But I know Ohio State's number one right now. LSU is number two, and that's fine. But I think LSU would be favored in that game. You know, I had a good weekend in college football? Oklahoma. I'll tell you why. Because Alabama lost to Auburn. So they drop out of the picture now for the national playoff. Right now, the four spot is held by Georgia. And then next up would be Utah or Oklahoma. Well, Georgia's going to have to play LSU in the SEC title game. We just told you about that Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. Utah's going to have to play Oregon for the Pac-12 title. I could see Oregon being at least favored in that game, even though Utah's higher ranked. And then Oklahoma plays Baylor in the Big 12. If Oklahoma wins and the other two lose,
guess what?
Oklahoma's going to slide into the national championship playoff. So Sooner fans had a good weekend. I think they had the best news of all when Alabama lost that game to Auburn. How did Alabama give up 48 points in one game?
I was going to say, did you guys watch it? I watched the entire game randomly.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
Was Saban as irate as he looked?
Oh, my goodness.
But didn't they put time on the clock or there was something controversial?
I think he had a right to be upset because before the half, Auburn had no timeouts, and they went down the field and they threw it into the middle of the field so they couldn't stop the clock. And then they had to go review it to see if the guy put his knee down so that they would have a first down. Chains would move, so that means the clock would stop for a little bit. So they put back a second on the clock, and Auburn was able to kick a field goal, which ended up being the field goal that won the game for them.
Alabama missed like a 30-yard field goal on the last play of the
game. Well, yeah, he clunked it off of the upright. But Nick Saban has... They gave Auburn four timeouts in that first half because of the review. So,
well, that was
funky.
Nick has been on the favorite side of a lot of those things.
He's gotten a few of those calls. You know, the thing is with Nick, I mean, you respect how great he is, but really, I mean, can you imagine a Belichick team getting blitzed for 48 points? 48 points on Alabama, that's unheard of.
Yeah, and they uncharacteristically made a whole bunch of penalties that they don't normally see them make.
It
was a recipe in a game like that that'll get you an L.
It did. It got them an L, and it opens things up, like I said. But that 48-45 game was nothing compared to what El Camino and Bishops did in the Division II CIF football championship game.
I read a little bit about this
weekend. We leave the high school stuff to the coach and Braden, but El Camino beat Bishops, if you didn't hear about this, for the Division II championship in football. And I say in football because you're not going to believe the score, the final score. 75-59.
Wow.
That was the final score of the game. It was the highest scoring CIF championship game in San Diego history. I would hope
so.
134 points. Bishops was leading by 25 points at halftime. And then El Camino scored 55 unanswered points in the second half.
That's insane.
And then Bishop scored a couple touchdowns late. So both the high school Division I and II titles go to the city of Oceanside. Congratulations. Oceanside High got the Division I title, and El Camino gets Division II. So I wanted to throw that in. Congratulate all those kids, all those fans up there in Oceanside. Great, great seasons, and even the losing teams. I mean, Bishop's put 59 on the board. You figure you're going to probably walk out of there with a win. They weren't close.
I mean, that is 55 points?
59.
59 points?
And they gave up 75. I think there was 18 touchdowns scored in the game.
And
time for that to all happen.
How many did you say? How many were unanswered?
They, I believe, got 55 straight points El Camino did to start the second half. Because they were down 45-20 going into the locker room. So Bishop's had a 25-point lead going into the locker room.
That is insane.
And ended up losing that game. Sorry about that, Bishop's.
I want to know what the coach that we met at El Camino, what he told them in the halftime.
Yeah, right. We did one of our Friday shows at El Camino High this year. So congrats to those guys. I know the coach and Braden called the game. They must have been worn out by the end of that game. They must have been worn out. Lakers' 10-game win streak is over. But I want to talk about this Luka Doncic guy. Do you think he has a chance to give Harden and, I don't know, Giannis and LeBron and the rest of these guys a run for the MVP money this year? Because 30.6 points, 9.6 assists, those are his averages right now. And he's leading this Dallas team, which is looking like a playoff contender now.
I think his team is a playoff contender. I think he'll be in the conversation when it's all said and done. There's the European game, there's just a different rhythm, cadence, whatever you want to call it. There's a because Luka is not by far. He probably is I'd say on a nightly basis the seventh or eighth best athlete on the court.
Huh.
But
really?
That being said, he gets to the bucket when he wants. He got the step back three. He can manage the game. He's not that athletic when it in terms of, you know, the basketball game. But the guy, you got to remember, he's been a professional a lot longer than these 2 years he's been in NBA.
Right. That's what you forget. Because he was rookie of the year last year.
He was rookie of the year last year. He had been an MVP in the second best league in the world. So this guy he can play. And he put us on full display last night at Staples, or yesterday at Staples Arena.
Yeah, they whipped the Lakers.
Put it on.
And the Lakers have not lost in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, 10-game streak snap.
Yeah. Was it a doubleheader at Staples yesterday?
It was.
Because they ushered the Lakers and Dallas
doubleheader
out of there and brought the Clippers in, and they put 150 up on the Wizards. 150! My goodness. All right. Stay tuned. Vikings-Seahawks Monday Night Football. Should be a good ball game. I'm sure Mr. Showtime will love it. Hope you enjoy it.
Showtime!
For Matt Scraby, Odd Thomas, Tony Gwynn Jr., and did the guy call in?
He did not.
He did not. So call right now, 833-288-0973. The eighth caller is going to win the prize package today. That could be you. Start dialing, 833-288-0973. I'm Chris Ello for Tony Gwynn and the rest. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tick, 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 tick.